Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Building Better Blocks to Healthier Life Show with Penny McElroy. Daily episodes packed full of informational wellness nuggets. Because your healthier life is closer than you think.
Welcome to the show. My name is Jennifer Navarrete, and during the month of November, we're learning all about the building blocks to good health from certified integrative nutrition coach Penny McElroy. Now, on today's show, Penny will share her experience in a year-long sleep study. So, Penny, I'm guessing that you must have been challenged by insomnia in order to seek out the help that a sleep study could possibly offer. Talk to us about what your sleep, or maybe I should say what your lack of sleep, was like before you entered the program.
Well, I would wake up in the middle of the night, and then I couldn't go back to sleep. And then I was like a zombie the next day, and I couldn't figure out what was going on with me. I had never really had that much of a problem sleeping. And I noticed after I had babies that, of course, my sleep was a lot lighter so that I wasn't getting into that deep sleep, and I didn't feel rested. And what I would do is during the day, if I sat still for 5 minutes, then I was asleep.
That's pretty drastic because, did that also happen maybe when you were driving or it sounds like it was starting to become potentially dangerous.
It was. My kids wouldn't even let me drive. As they got old enough to drive, I would always make them drive because I'd fall asleep at the wheel. It never actually caused any accidents or anything. Well, I take that back. I did fall asleep one time while I was sitting at a light, and my foot slipped off of the brake, and I bumped into the back end of a car in front of me. So it did begin to be a hazard, a health hazard on the road. And it was because I wasn't getting a quality sleep. And the longer it went, the worse it got. So I wanted to find out what was wrong with me. I'd started taking melatonin. And when I first started the sleep study, it was really strange, because I learned some really interesting things about how to prepare for sleep.
For folks who may be experiencing this in their own life, what did you look for when you were looking for a sleep study program? I mean, because I think if you jump on Google, you could come up with any number of things to look for, but what did you look for?
I really didn't. They found me. It just popped up on my internet, and I have no clue where it came from. It was a God thing, I think, because I needed that.
So what were those first steps? I mean, I'm guessing you know, day one, they probably ask you a lot of questions, and what was that experience like?
Well, you have to screen for it. It's not that you know, just jump in day one. You screen for it, they look at it, they decide whether your sleep patterns are bad enough that they can use you as a sleep study. So that's what I went through, and I filled out all their long questionnaire and everything. And sure enough, I did qualify. So they started it, and what I liked about the sleep study was that I had to track my sleep. So all of a sudden, I was being very conscious of what my sleep patterns were. I had to tell them what time I went to bed, what time I got up. I had to tell them how many times I woke up in the middle of the night. Had I drank any alcohol before I went to bed? Just all kinds of questions on a daily basis. And you only had a few days to be able to record the results. And I knew if I didn't record it pretty much on a daily basis, I was going to forget what time I went to bed and what time I got up. But just having to track that information, almost immediately, my sleep improved. Yeah, I'd been taking melatonin for a while, and I was still having problems with my sleep. But when I started tracking the time I went to bed, how long I slept, did I get rested during the night? Did I feel rested when I got up in the morning? How many times I'd gotten up? How many times I woke up? Did I go back to sleep? All this information they wanted to know. So it was like keeping a journal on sleep.
You know, I like the idea of keeping a journal on sleep because it, as you said, sometimes just writing it down prompts you to have better behavior around it. Did you start to notice that at first you were going to bed at late hours? And then all of a sudden you started shifting to earlier hours? Or what were some of the patterns that you noticed over the course of time in reference to your sleep?
That definitely was one of the things that I noticed, is just like with eating, when you write a journal, one of the main reasons why you're writing a journal on food is that if you write that journal and you have to write down, I just had a quarter pound hamburger with french fries and a milkshake, you're not as apt to eat that. You know, so with sleep, it was kind of the same way. If I knew I was going to have to tell these people that I, what time I went to bed, then I would try to make myself go to bed a little bit earlier. And it wasn't really a conscious decision. It was just maybe a factor that I would be embarrassed to write down that I had screwed up so bad with it. So it was just a lot, very revealing to me, just because it made me be consciously aware of what my sleep patterns were, what I was doing, how I felt, was I rested. All of this information, it was really helpful to me. And within a matter of, I would say, a month into the sleep study that I did, my sleep patterns is improving. I'm sleeping more hours. I'm feeling more rested when I get up. And I really felt like I shouldn't belong to the sleep study after a couple months into it, because I felt like I was cheating them, because I wasn't having any sleep problems. I felt like I was doing so much better that I really didn't need it anymore. But I did complete it because I had made the commitment to complete it.
Well, I think you should. It's a good thing that you did stick to it, because even in just a short amount of time, their strategies were already paying off big dividends as far as sleep goes. I mean, then look at long term. So, okay, so let's say you're within a month you were feeling like you were cheating them, but at the same time you were getting better rest. What about, what were there any different things that they offered as suggestions, or was it really just keeping track of your sleep that made all the difference?
It was keeping track of my sleep. There wasn't anything else that they were telling me I needed to do. There were some lessons that I had to read, but those were all at the beginning. There wasn't really anything else. They would do a questionnaire every quarter through it, so I would go through and answer all their questions just like I did in the beginning, but there wasn't anything new about it. So what they were doing, I'm not even sure how they judged this, but I did complete the whole thing, and I did feel like that when I got to the end of it that I had gained an awful lot. Like most things, when you do long-term commitments, you get tempted because life gets in the way and you don't want to, you know, you don't think about filling it out, or you forget or something along those lines. But I didn't. I got all the way through it, and there were times that I really was at the last minute putting my information in, but I did get all the way through it. And it was so beneficial to me to control my sleep and make me realize that I could control. I had control over the way that I slept. I had control over how I felt. And what I discovered was going to sleep at the wheel was not as much of a problem anymore. If I would go to a meeting and sit there and listen, there's family members and stuff that would, you know, elbow me to get me to wake up, because it was an embarrassment. And it was all about not getting enough sleep.
So it sounds like by writing it down, you became accountable to your sleep. But just by doing that, I mean, it seems so simple, but because you had to turn it into a third party, or to a, you know, you had like homework, it made you could stay with it consistently. And sometimes I think if we don't have anybody accountable to turn, you know, to kind of hold us responsible for what we're doing, there's a real tendency, as you mentioned earlier, to kind of slough it off, or to kind of, you know, say, oh, it's not that important, and let life get busy. So I wonder how, you know, we could do that in general. Like if we were having trouble sleeping, can we then hold ourselves accountable to a sleep buddy? You know, we talked about fitness buddies in the past, and being your accountability partner to stay fit. I wonder if there's something like that for sleep, where we just have to be accountable to one another to track sleep, so that we can kind of feel that responsibility towards, you know, having a better sleep pattern.
Definitely. And that's what I was going to say. The university that I was doing the study with, they were my sleep buddies. because I had to report to them. So they were my accountability to make sure that I did every night record exactly how much sleep I got and what quality of sleep I got. So it's important to do that, and we can do that for each other. But what we need to do is find that sleep buddy and report to that person every day. It takes, I've heard some people say 21 days, and I've heard other people say it was longer than that, but to make a habit. And that's what I did through this study. I made a habit of trying to make myself go to bed by midnight. And for me, that was early because my normal bedtime was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I still, to this day, have problems if I go to bed before midnight. And I can stretch it and go to bed at 11 occasionally. But if I go to bed before midnight on a general, everyday routine, then I end up waking up in the middle of the night. And it is very difficult for me to go back to sleep. I think a lot of that has to do with my age. As you get older, it is harder to do those things. And it's because the melatonin drops in your body. So that's what keeps you asleep is the melatonin. And as I got older, I found that that was a problem. And I think that's a problem that my grandmother had and my aunt had as well, is that it was difficult for them to go to bed early enough that they didn't wake up in the middle of the night. And that's miserable because then the next day you feel like a zombie. So I still have to watch myself, but I'm conscious of it. I'm conscious of it because I did the sleep study. Because it was a pattern that I was able to follow, aware of what it was that I was doing.
I think that's really helpful. One of the big key messages I really feel, like if we want to change habits or patterns or shift our way of thinking, that having someone partner with you in that makes all the difference in the world and probably and increases your chances of success. I know I've experienced this in my own life, and that if anything, if you need a sleep partner, buddy, accountability, someone, I think that that's probably a good idea is to get that person and report it. I think things like Fitbit, though, are kind of helpful with that, too, because if you wear the Fitbit, it tracks your sleep for you and tells you how much you were restless and how much you actually got deep sleep. And I found that kind of a fascinating thing. What did you think about your – I know you also have a Fitbit that you've used in the past. Was that any insightfulness to you when you saw the sleep patterns?
You know, I've really never paid attention to that part of my Fitbit. I know it turns off like I'm supposed to be in bed by midnight, so that helps. It doesn't count my steps anymore after midnight. And that's an accountability. But Fitbit is your sleep partner. That is your sleep buddy. Yeah, it is an accountability. When you have to look at it and it shows this is how much I'm sleeping. And the same way, this is how much I'm walking. You know, when you look at that and you say, oh, I only did 3,000 steps today, maybe that's not so good. But the same way with sleep. You know, I only got 3 hours sleep. I only got 4 hours sleep, you know, last night. And you know that you didn't get the REM sleep, the restorative sleep, when you do that. So it's an accountability. And it all goes back to having that accountability partner. And that person has to be someone that is like-minded, that wants the same things that you want.
Fantastic. This is really, really insightful. Folks, if you need an accountability partner, if you don't know anybody who's having trouble sleeping, I think Penny's right. Fitbit could be your accountability partner. And if you want to go to that next level, there are, you know, universities are holding sleep studies all the time, and it's possible that you could join one of those. So take a look around. I would say do a Google search or look on Craigslist or even, you know, hit up your local university. Penny, thank you so much for sharing your personal experience. I think it's going to be really helpful for folks who are challenged by lack of quality sleep.
You're welcome. I sure want to help anybody because it's miserable not to be able to sleep enough.
Absolutely. Well, hey, folks, tomorrow's show we're going to look at the whole week of building blocks to sleep and have Penny share an example of an ideal sleep habit. So if you were wondering what your sleep habit should look like, Penny's going to give you a walkthrough, a verbal walkthrough of what that should be like.
To receive more healthy building block tips, simply go to yourwellnessplan.com.
Mm-hmm.